It's February 23rd, 2019. This is Fancy Ramen. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And I'm your noisy boy, Scott.
And this is a podcast that covers the quintessentials of culture, food, anime, and video games. What have you guys been up to this week?
I gave blood for the first time yesterday, and I did not know it took away my ability to drink.
Oh, yeah. You'll get real fucked up. It doesn't take that much.
Well, all the things just said, you'll die. So I was like, okay, I don't want to risk that.
Oh, that's good. So you didn't try and drink after donating blood.
Correct. I did not try and drink after donating blood. So I had to go through character creation of D&Z sober.
Which is never fun to begin with.
Neil, I have a question. Are you into the... Because you are a very anime type of guy. Are you really into the whole blood type fortune telling? Should we do a quick read for Cookie? Let everybody know that he's an O positive, like most everybody else. Or O negative, I believe.
O positive, I think, is the more common one, I thought.
I think O negative is the most common blood type. But don't worry, we have the internet right at our fingertips. Ah, shit. I'm totally wrong.
O positive?
O positive is the number one. I'm O negative, actually. I am a universal donor.
I am something.
Yeah, which means I'm also fucked.
I think we've actually talked a bit about blood type personality traits in the past, because it comes up in Motokoi, the anime that is otherwise translated as It's Hard to Love an Otaku or something like that.
So you have brought that up, yes.
O's are supposed to be eccentric, which we are all type O's, which is why we all do a video game podcast that is sometimes not really about video games.
As I was saying, gave blood, made a character for D&D yesterday, and helped my wife fill out her character sheet as well. And
so is Lizzie, I haven't caught up on the text, but is Lizzie down for being on video for this event?
Yep, she was very distraught about after getting all dolled up and putting on makeup and stuff.
That there was no video?
Yes, very much so. And she's like, why'd you let me put on makeup? I was like, I didn't realize you were putting on makeup. Otherwise, I would have told you. But we got mostly everything done. We're going to do one more pre-session. But I think this pre-session we should record. But we can talk about that later.
So in case you're not aware, which how would you be? We've never talked about it. We're going to do a D&D video at some point with Keith, John, and Buck. And that should be fun.
And if you didn't pick up on context clues, I'm also in it, and so is my wife, Lizzie.
Oh, right. I guess the context is that Scott won't be in it because Scott's in Montana.
Yeah, since I am a long distance correspondent, it is harder for me to make the on-site meetings with the some 20-something hour drive.
Aye.
Yeah, so I've forfeited my opportunity and instead accepted a position as a consultant for the group, and then after getting so many text messages, have decided to also leave the group message and completely vacate myself from any responsibility. Would you like to give a quick preview to the character that you've built, or is this going to remain a surprise for the audience?
Oh, no. So my character is a female, and she is she's from our world. So I made an isekai character.
Oh my gosh, in another dungeon with my dragon. That's fantastic.
Pretty much. She basically was murdered by a cursed weapon that ended up transporting her to the prime material plane. And she is a warlock hexblade. So the weapon that she is... Her pact weapon is the weapon that she was killed by when she was a little girl. She was about 10 when she died, and then woke up the next day as a oh god, what's that thing called with the horns and the tail?
Tiefling?
Yeah, she woke up as a tiefling. So she spent some time not happy about life and basically cut off her tail and shaved down her horns and uses magic to make herself look more human, but you know, that's about all I can give you for now.
Kind of an edge sword.
It's a shame that the cursed weapon was not like a 2007 Ford Mustang.
But yeah, so she's been in the Prime Material Ward for about 9 years after she died. So it's not like she just got transported to another world. It's she got transported to another world, has had some time to acclimate and be all moody and shit.
Right. And at the end of her teen years, which is prime territory for an isekai.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. So she transported at 10. It's been about 9 years. So she's about 19 years old.
The perfect age for an isekai in the West. In Japan, you got to be like 16, 17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, besides that, just been working. That's my life right now.
What about you, Scott?
Unfortunately, I'm just the latter half of Cookie's week as well. Working hard and not doing much at all. I'm reading a book that is of great interest to me that is called Wired for Culture, that is written primarily on the exchange of ideas as a secondary force to like the exchange of genes in human survival and proliferation and differentiation. And it's fascinating, but I'm only about 100 pages in, so I'm not yet qualified to actually give any sort of condensation of the information yet. But it's real cool. I'm just
Was that the right word?
Nerdy in a different way. Well,
yeah.
Well, condensed information, I guess.
If the knowledge is within your... If your head is the bottle that contains the knowledge, then maybe the condensation truly is just what's beating on the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, that condensation really doesn't represent the liquid within all that well at all.
Maybe a distillation of the information. I want to stick to like
a liquid metaphor.
Liquid-based metaphor. We got to stay there, but I'm willing to adjust my terminology slightly.
I'm proud of you.
We're just recording so early for me.
I know, right? Whole hour early. Yeah, what you been up to?
I read a decent chunk of The Promised Neverland. And Ooh. when I say a decent chunk, since I was just curious like what the type of vibe and mood was in it, so I went and found it through less than authentic means online. And unfortunately, the first dozen of chapters were not available. They had broken links and stuff. So I found myself jumping right into the middle of the story. I didn't read too far into it, but
I'm sure it's very easy to pick up on a show that or a book that probably has major changes each chapter.
Let's just say that I have some questions answered already that I didn't even realize I had. So I'm going to see if Tiffany wants to watch it, but really, aside from that, I've just been watching. I mean, work's been picking up. So what I've been doing in the in my spare moments outside of video games has been watching the League of Legends competitive scene in America, or North America, rather. And that's about it.
I got excited and thought you were going to say in your spare time you've been watching Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy? Is that mm-hmm. is that like the academy for umbrella operatives in the world of Resident Evil?
Hunk was the summa cum laude at one point in time.
Unfortunately not. It's the new Netflix superhero movie. Superhero TV show, I guess, with Ellen Page and other people who are famous.
Other actors.
Exactly. It's real fucking good. Like, I'll be honest with you, I ended up playing maybe about 4 hours of video games this entire week, and three of those were this morning. So, yeah, we've just been kind of steamrolling through the hour-long episodes of season one of The Umbrella Academy. It's basically a lot of kids were born on the same day at the same time, but the thing that made it extraordinary was the women who gave birth to those kids weren't pregnant at the beginning of that day.
So they're all all the children are Jesus, basically.
Yeah.
Basically. And this eccentric billionaire went around the world trying to adopt as many of those kids as possible by buying them, basically.
Got to collect them all.
Pretty much. And he got 7 of them.
And there's 47 total, you said?
I don't remember how many total kids there were.
Okay.
Basically, this show only followed the 7 that he adopted.
Yeah.
And he formed a superhero group with them, with the 7 kids, actually with the 6 kids, because Ellen Page's character, number 7, she did not have superpowers.
Mm.
Or so you think.
Yeah, until she receives a hair with mysterious power.
Pretty much. And basically, the show starts off not when the superhero group was formed, but many years after, when the kids eventually, like, pretty much all of them left, and there was pretty much when all the kids left. This show is based off of a comic book that was written by the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
I checked out officially.
It's real fucking good. Like, our favorite character is number 5. Basically, he went missing when he was young because he decided he wanted to time travel. His power was teleportation, and he got lost in time, basically, because he didn't know how to control his time traveling. And the first episode, the father dies and everyone comes back to go to the funeral, and number 5 ends up making it back, but he ended up making it back in his old body.
Do they refer to everyone as their number?
Yes.
Of the kids? Are you sure this isn't like some weird live action version of, is it Android 9?
It is not Android 9, 009.
Okay.
Because the kids actually do have names, but usually when, I think number 5 is the only one who didn't get a name, because as the kids grew up, they gave each other names, basically. So number 5, our favorite character, he basically lived 47 years outside of time, so he grew up and became an old man, and then when he came back into the current timeline, he got his young body back, so it's this like teenager playing this crotchety old man, and it is just great. He is just a delight to listen to, because he acts older than everyone else, and he's like, listen here, you little kid, you little whippersnapper, and he's talking to like grown adults, and he is just a child, and it's amazing. I would say you should definitely probably give episode 1 a watch, see if it sparks your interest. It's dark and wonderful.
It sounds interesting. A quick aside, Scott, were you the person to recommend me to watch Russian Doll?
Yes, I probably did.
Okay.
I have not been disappointed with the Netflix stuff I've picked up on a whim recently. Russian Doll was really good. Sierra and I started watching one called Sex Education. It's a pretty shock filled first episode, but past that, like
Game of Thrones,
it's a very good show.
Episode 1 shock.
Less murder, goblin. More smut.
Okay.
Somewhere in between those two, I guess.
It's my type of values.
It's a very, I think it's a super entertaining show. I like the writing so much that I can get over the fact that it's set in the UK.
Usually those make shows even better.
I don't know about that. But I'll keep my British-based prejudices aside and say that it's been an exceptionally good show and has also really taken away from my time that I've been able to spend playing video games.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I won't give an elevator pitch, but it's entertaining. Essentially, I will give an elevator pitch. Why the hell not? essentially, it focuses on a entertaining kind of trio of characters that they slightly expand upon as the series continues, but the primary protagonist has a mother who is a sex therapist, and he's like coming to terms with dealing with puberty in high school, not exactly Big Mouth style of like, actually I don't think it's that far away from kind of the entertainment that Big Mouth has, besides the fact that it's less zany as you would expect from a cartoon. But anyway, he decides to adopt a similar role as his mother and act as sort of a for-hire sex therapist at his high school. And it makes for a relatively entertaining watch, because he's able to dispense advice very professionally and keep an extremely like withdrawn air as he interacts with clients. But at the same time, he has his own issues that he's trying to deal with. And so it works for the viewer as sort of an educational experience as well as an entertaining experience. I feel like if there are kids in high school or even kids in college who are watching this, like there's tiny nuggets of like valuable perspective or information that gets interwoven with an otherwise like entertaining show.
Nice. I have one question.
Yes.
Have you seen Charlie Bartlett?
I have seen Charlie Bartlett. It does really fit that kind of Charlie Bartlett. Like, actually, I think it has a lot of inspiration from Charlie Bartlett, just in the fact that they even do a lot of their therapy sessions initially in like an abandoned public bathroom in the school area, just like Charlie Bartlett does his. He does. He's more of a psychiatrist, right? Because he's prescribing medication as well.
Yes.
Yes. So there's no drug sales happening.
So this one's more in the same vein, and
I'd say Charlie Bartlett's a great comparison. I would say if you like Charlie Bartlett, I would definitely give this a try.
I could dig it. It's been on my list ever since I saw the preview for it.
The first episode is graphic. Get ready to see a lot of dicks, I think. And then after that, it mellows out almost immediately, because I think part of these Netflix shows is they really feel as though they need to hook you by that first episode. And so they go pretty pretty hardcore on the presentation for the first episode.
Well, with hour-long episodes, of course they need to hook you, because that's the rule of twos for anime. You watch two episodes of an anime to know if you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
And if an anime is an hour long, you're definitely not going to watch a second episode if it's not good.
Yeah, that's a lot to commit to. Oh, speaking of anime, I've been watching Love is War, which is also fun. It is a tsundere versus tsundere anime, and it's very funny.
Two tsunderes in love with each other, or?
Yeah, they're in love with each other, and admitting their love for the other person is perceived as weakness, and they're both in like a escalating power struggle between one another. And each episode is essentially a microcosm conflict that at the very end, the narrator decides who wins, who loses, or if it's a draw. And sometimes third parties can get involved and they can end up being the losers of an engagement between the two tsunderes.
That's what this is about?
Yes.
Okay.
Sierra and I are having a blast with it.
Sold. But Scott, watch Umbrella Academy.
I'll give the first episode a shot. And we'll see how that goes.
I just realized I had canceled my Netflix subscription this month.
Why?
Because I didn't use it. I had it for like 2 months, and I got it because I was traveling a lot, and it was great being able to download things to your phone and watch it that way.
You just have to find a family that's willing to adopt you into their digital streaming arms.
Unfortunately, my family is full.
I'll use
my family
kids
is also full, but...
I'm sure I can find some way to access Netflix. So why don't we talk about some video games then?
Cool.
Take it away.
All right. So,
you played 4 hours of video games or 3 hours this morning. What game were you playing, Cookie?
I was playing Call of Duty Black Ops. They just had a new release for their season called Something or Another, but it's got new guns. I got to play some of the newer levels, and their blackout mode has a thing called Hot Pursuit now. So apparently there are vehicles, and you can choose between, if you find a muscle car, it comes with rare items, but you're constantly being hunted by anyone who's inside of a police car.
Mm.
I have no idea how it works. Haven't played it. Just playing some Call of Duty. And yeah, haven't really been playing video games this week, guys.
You know, the fact that Call of Duty has not adopted the mongoose style of team vehicle where one person drives and the other person is just like mounted to shoot their weapon is a real shame, because I feel like...
Oh, no, they've got that.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Ta-da, yeah. I have demonstrated my ignorance.
No, yeah, no, they've got all the vehicles that you can have multiple people inside of. They can pop their heads out. They've got vehicles with miniguns on the thing, so that way you can hop into that seat and be shooting around and shit.
Which is more okay. or less the mongoose.
The warthog in that case.
Oh, warthog, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That's right.
Goes to show our Halo prowess.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, been doing that. And I've just been sucking more and more at Wargroove and have decided to start playing Smash Online.
Very nice. I need to figure out my Piranha Plant. I had my game crash or something. I had to reinstall it, and I haven't been able to download Piranha Plant. I'm being asked to pay for it at the store, even though I pre-ordered my game and downloaded it like day of release.
Oh,
sounds like a call to Nintendo support or email.
Yeah, they actually, I don't know if they have an easily accessible email. It's almost always like all of the resources I've found so far are just FAQs or redirect to a phone call, and I haven't wanted to take the time to make the phone call yet, even though it should be easy. They should be able to look at my account and see when I purchased.
Maybe Bowser will make this even easier for you now in the future.
Oh my gosh, that's right. The biggest moment in gaming for me this week was crying after finding out that Reggie Fils-Aime will be leaving Nintendo. I did not anticipate that a speech that probably only had like a 500 to 600 word count was going to get me all teary-eyed, but it did.
Sorry to just throw in news there. Everyone was jumping at the bits to talk about the video games they played.
Well, Reggie is video games in a way.
I mean, I'm trying to let you guys have your turns is all. Reggie is life. Unfortunately, our body is not ready for Reggie to retire.
Yeah. I was not Reggie at all. I think it was best summed up by something I saw that said, I did not know how bad a loss that I wasn't expecting was going to affect me. I am very sad to see him go. In related news, I've seen that Doug Bowser has already had his own Doug Bowsette meme created.
Jeez.
So, I mean, no one who heads Nintendo of America is safe from almost immediate memification, it seems. But
well, with a name like Bowser, like
he's doomed. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe not doomed. He will, I think, be immediately ingratiated to the community. But I'm sad to see the memory, not sad to see the memory of Reggie go. I have nothing but really fond memories of Reggie leading Nintendo throughout the entire time that I was old enough to actually consume, like video game based media relative on like reporting new games coming out and his promotional stuff. But it's with a heavy heart that I have to say goodbye. I'm glad that he's retiring and just spending time with friends and family, though. That's the best possible way to leave a company.
It's not like he ever had any, at least that I can think of, any down or bad moments with Nintendo.
No, that's kind of what makes him exceptional. It's like, far as CEOs go, he's one of the few CEOs where I'm like, I wish him the best and thank you for all your hard work.
Not only has he been like a positive face, but he's also been more than willing to be the funny man on stage when it's come to certain press events and so forth.
He had an exceptional personality for presentation.
There's quite a few videos you can go back and find of him getting ready. The whole "my body is ready" meme, like he's had a very successful time. Even if you ignore the business aspect of the company and more just the community interaction. So hopefully yeah. Bowser can follow suit, but
I think he will, just based off the like first picture they showed of Doug Bowser with all like the Goomba plushies in the back and him having Mario and Luigi tied up. I think he's already fully committed to his name and knowing exactly what he's going to get.
I'd like to know how he's related to Bowser in general. Like, is Doug Bowser like his brother?
When I first heard the announcement, the picture that I saw was Reggie and then Bowser, the Nintendo character, stepping into the frame and not Doug Bowser, the actual human. So I was confused at first because I didn't understand it was Doug Bowser. I just saw Bowser set to replace Reggie Fils-Aime and left me confused for a little bit. But yeah, he's from the very like small amount of information I have, I think Cookie's absolutely right that he'll probably step into it and do an exceptional job as well.
So I played a video game, or I played video games this week.
What?
I
don't
know.
Do that here.
Yeah.
So since 428 Shibuya Scramble's done, I picked up another title to play with Tiff, and it was Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Ooh, good game.
I had played a bit of this game before, but more note, like, so I had done the dances and stuff, like the free mode, but I hadn't gotten into the actual story of it. Really? At least too far. And now that I'm getting into the actual meat of the story, good God, this game is equal parts nostalgia, homage, and cringe at the same time. It takes the Persona 4 characters and cast and tells this wild story, which I kind of wish was no longer canon, but it is, about how they have to enter the midnight stage to dance away shadows and save people.
That's great.
It's really good. The only complaint I have is that I feel like they kind of take some liberties with each of the characters that at times kind of underwrites the development they had in Persona 4. Most notably, the thing to me is that like the focus characters being you and Risei-chan, they don't really act like themselves so much. And maybe it's just by the fact that Yu is voiced and has like a, you know, dialogue at this point. You're not really playing so much as him as you are like a bystander or, like an observer. And that's really how the game frames it as well, despite the fact that you get to make some decisions for him that really have no consequence. But he doesn't really feel like what felt like the way to play him in Persona 4, which was like comic relief as much as possible and strange. And instead he's like way more natural leader, way more Adachi is what I'm going to say, because he's using the voice actor for Adachi from Persona 4, which that was the same case in the original, because who else is going to call out the names of the personas? But otherwise you didn't ever hear him talk. Unless we refer to the anime. But with Risei, on the other hand, she has a different voice actress that like just doesn't sound like... I don't know if... Cookie, you might have a perspective on this too, but I feel like if you are a good vocalist or singer, it kind of... You can tell by your voice, right? Or maybe in contrast, you can tell by listening to someone that they probably wouldn't be good at singing.
I'll say it's actually 50-50 on that. You either have the, oh yeah, this person's got a really good speaking voice, I know they're going to be a good singer, or you've got the, oh, this person sounds like straight ass just talking. Are you sure they were just singing that song a second ago?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. When it comes to, like, I have a fairly robust vocal background from doing choir my entire life, and it's sometimes hard to guess it. Who has what type of voice, because people will switch into essentially very different I guess, like, modes that they use for their voice between singing and speaking, especially people who are covering, like, wide ranges. There are people who will sing, like, a beautiful falsetto, but otherwise have a squeaky and annoying voice.
Wouldn't you like to talk to me, Scott?
It's just, it's one of those things, like, the vocal cords that you're activating when you're singing are not necessarily similar to the vocal cords that you use while you're speaking.
That's true. But I guess for me, yeah, it's just the disconnect of this character is supposed to be a triple threat idol, singing, dancing, acting, right?
Yeah.
And if her voice actress comes off as like unpleasant to listen to on a speaking pattern, and it's not necessarily that, like, I don't think her voice, her new voice actress, is annoying. It's just that, like, it lacks the flow and pleasantness that the original voice actor had. And it kind of...
It seems like your expectation is that if they're going to be known as, like, a prolific singer, they should also have almost a sing-song voice quality when they speak.
No, I mean, maybe it's just the ability to use dynamic range. So, like, the original Rise, for instance, in Persona 4, starts off as, like, a character that doesn't want to be an idol anymore. That's taking a break. So she's working at her grandma's tofu shop and it has, like, a very reserved, quiet voice, right? And not mm-hmm. quiet from the standpoint of actual loudness, but just the presentation of her character is passive. And as she opens up through her portion of the story, or her story arc, her, like, she transforms that performance into, like, a really chipper one at that. And then, like, her interactions between, like, the students in her grade, like Naoto and Kanji, and then with her senpai, or specifically the protagonist, because, you know, she's, like, very infatuated with him. She has, like, a very wide range of emotions and of, like, a voiceover contrast, I guess. Contrast in voice. And I feel like that is entirely lacking with her current performer, or her performer in Dancing All Night, which I think kind of eliminates some of the illusion of having, like, this very talented actress in front of you. But you're right. Like, I probably shouldn't judge upon the voice thing, but... Or the voice in regards to singing.
Judge. Hate.
And it's not like I hate this voice actress.
Join the internets.
Like, given, you know, the cast of every Persona game tends to have veterans. Like, I recognize her voice, and she does a lot of other things that I'm a big fan of. I just don't necessarily think she really fits this character that much. And I'm just saying it kind of sucks because she is, like, the second most important character in the story so far. I'm assuming before we get more screen time with the new character that they introduce in Dancing All Night. But that's been a thing. You gotta dance to beat Shadows, you know? If only they did that in Persona 4 and 5. I mean, they kind of do in 5 now that I think about it. But yeah, that about does it. League of Legends, Earth is still going on, so I might actually get more into that. And then next week, I think, or the week after
Isn't it a permanent element, Neil?
I do
believe it is now just a part of the game.
I think it's supposed to be part of the rotating game mode, because otherwise, when are we going to see Blitz mode come back?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's just we've never seen, or okay, in my limited time since that, you know, I took a year or two break with League of Legends, I've never seen it last this long.
Because it's just never going away.
Yeah, it may stick around. And be a part of, say, a rotating game mode lineup. Well, ARAM, for instance, I do believe that ARAM was essentially born from the fact that people wanted to play shorter games, wanted to have more champion-based interactions, and thus the popularity of ARAM, like, cemented it. Earth has always been an incredibly popular format of the game because it's just, like, abusively quick fire in how you can use champions and abilities, and becomes to some extent both a like hyperinflation of player skill and like character like team composition and character usage, like finding the ways to exploit abilities as best as possible since they're on sometimes as short as like half a second refresh.
Yeah.
I do believe it's at least going to be cemented for the rotating mode, where maybe Nexus Blitz will swap in and out with it, and maybe they'll have a third type of format that they introduce later. But I don't see why it wouldn't become at least a much more common staple, let alone a permanent one, when they had that like battle or arena mode. Do you know what I'm talking about with the like it's the King of the Hill format?
You mean what they used to have?
Dominion?
Yeah, is Dominion. It? Or,
yeah, which I never played. I can't imagine that many people are interested in it.
Dude, I miss Dominion.
You like Dominion? Okay.
I didn't like it more than the actual game, but I thought it was a fun recess.
I never got the impression that Dominion was particularly popular. Having not played it myself, I shouldn't comment too much on how much fun it actually was. But the fact that Dominion stayed around as its own individual format for such a long time, and I don't know if it's not available anymore. I have never paid that much close attention to it. But the popularity of Earth seems to be overwhelming compared to Dominion. And so I would imagine that they're going to try and find a way to keep this as a more permanent game mode. Even if it cycles out, I think those cycles will either be very long between that and exchange with Nexus Blitz and anything else that they introduce, or they will have it in an accessible like sub-menu for all the different subtypes of games you can play in League.
League of Legends.
Yeah, let's play sometime.
So, Scott, what have you been playing this week?
Anything. Yeah. The only thing I've really played is Hollow Knight in excitement for Silksong coming out at some eventual point in 2019, which I imagine is probably on the very back half of the year, where I'll see it most likely announced October, November, December. There are, since I played the game, 4 free DLCs that were added to the experience that I'm looking forward to accessing, but haven't seen yet within the first probably couple hours of playing the game. I've only, like Cookie, plugged maybe 3 hours of gaming into this week, which is incredibly low for my usual output, but I have been relatively busy or distracted by other things. But the 4 DLCs... are Hidden Dreams, The Grim Troop, Lifeblood, and Godmaster. And each one of these that I'm looking for kind of introduce normally new enemies and new boss fights, which Hollow Knight, I think, is most fun during its very tense, almost Souls-like boss fights between your small, agile character and whatever boss of like expanding difficulty and prowess occupies the screen with you. The Hidden Dreams one, I think, has you fighting against other master bugs that are opponents with different fighting styles and weapon sets, but are a part of the like Hollow Nest community or lore. The Grim Troop seems to be one about a nightmarish troop of bugs that are a part of like a traveling like carnival or circus troupe. So I imagine a very interesting kind of dark Halloween circus vibe with the introductions of this expansion. And then the Lifeblood expansion actually upgrades the whole game and should update the boss fights to have like greater move sets, less cheesable attributes, and like tweaking some other things about maybe balancing or enemy placement in the game. I haven't encountered much that I recognize to be different yet, but I'm still pretty early into the game. And then the Godmaster DLC, which is the final one, is sort of the coup de grace when it comes to difficulty of boss fights, where I think you go through a gauntlet of fighting the like toughest and most intense boss fights that they could formulate for this game that seemed even like close to a fair challenge. And so I'm looking forward to all of the new content that I'm encountering, but it seems like, which is similar to games that I've played like Dark Souls, that a lot of this content is going to be locked behind a certain point in the game where you have to pick up a requisite number of like skills or abilities before you can really progress forward. The other thing I'm noticing that I didn't take advantage of when I played the game the first time is how wonderful the charm system works for it, which I don't know if I explained the last time I talked about it back in late 2017 or early 2018 was last year. Yeah, late 2017. But do you remember anything about the charm system?
I remember a lot about the charm system.
That's right. Cookie's played this game, so Cookie knows. The charm system, and please jump in and correct me if I'm not doing a good enough job, Cookie, is essentially getting to add like small...
It is exactly. Sorry.
No, it's cool. Small like tweaks or perks or changes to your abilities or skill sets that you can adjust every time you sit at a bench, which is essentially a save point. These things can be as simple as, the like magnitude of impact of the charm designates how many slots it takes up in your inventory. You played a game called CrossCode earlier within the past couple months, Neil, in which part of that game is exchanging attributes and abilities and kind of trying to find the perfect format of how to balance these powers that you're introducing into what I assume are like ability slots or available positions for how many you can equip and use at one time. The charms work in a very similar way in Hollow Knight, in which you can equip sort of low impact charms for maybe one slot cost, or charms that have a more dramatic impact upon how you play the game or what sort of effect it has takes up more slots. I may have talked about these during the first time we spoke on Hollow Knight, but the thing I had not really tried was something called overcharming, which the game allows you to take a very high risk reward system in which you can equip charms past what your maximum equipable limit is at the cost of you taking extra or double damage for doing so. Therefore, you can try and improve Hollow Knight's abilities by equipping, say, a charm that takes three slots on the last single slot that you have, but you'll take double damage for using such a potent charm on a like maximum slot size that is below what you're actually equipping. And it's made for a really interesting game, and I'm really trying to do that in a way that is essentially min-maxing my experience, where I feel like I'm much more heavily equipped by having these high-level, high-potency charms, but every time I make a mistake, I take a double penalty on the damage, which Hollow Knight, I really enjoy the way that both the construction of the levels and the placement of enemies sometimes makes it where you can have a cascading effect of like catastrophic failure. If you get bumped by an enemy and take damage, sometimes that knocks you off of a high platform and you fall into, say, spikes below or into another enemy that's likely to do damage to you in your like damaged state as you're trying to recover. Since it can get hectic and a little difficult to control in these like tight pathways or these very large open like vertical rooms, dodging out of the way of a spike may lead you right into the trap of another enemy's attack or another spike or some sort of other like map style hazard. And so I found with this overcharming method, fighting enemies is a lot easier. It's following the patterns that I'm familiar with. But when it comes to making a mistake on just navigating the map or the platforming, you get dunked on at certain points in time just because you're able to take double the damage from what this trap is supposed to do to you, or this sequence of traps. And it's made for a very tense platforming experience as well.
I'm happy for you.
I know. I've had so much to say over almost playing nothing this week, so I'm happy I was able to fill time.
Speaking of filling time, I really got nothing.
And if you'd like to send us questions, comments, or corrections, you can write us at podcast@fancyramen.com.
Don't be afraid to keep leaving us those reviews. We're still at 5 of 5 for 5 stars with no new comments. So I can't give anyone kudos or shout outs or send them fancy gifts. You won't get fancy gifts for leaving us reviews, but
I don't know if it's even appropriate to like read out reviews with names. I kind of feel like that might deter people. That's neither here nor there, though.
I'll say if you want a shout out, just leave a review and say, hey, give me a shout out. We'll definitely give you a shout out.
This is not a colored email.
Who does the shout out?
So.
Thanks, yeah. And in a funny voice.
Yep.
Hello, this review comes in from.
Wait, what is this voice? Where is this voice coming from? I feel like I'm mimicking something.
It's probably coming from one of your friends that you've told about the Fancy Ramen podcast. And if you'd like to, please continue to do so. It is helping our audience grow every day. And the more people you tell, the more weird voices that may appear on this podcast.
The weirdest voices ever. This has been episode 108 of Fancy Ramen.
I don't have a title for this. Have a good week, everyone. We'll see you next.
Bye. Neil, I cannot take you seriously with that voice.
What's wrong with those voice? There's nothing wrong with those voice.